Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
What an amazing song to start Beerridge 2020. One more time, let's appreciate them. Wow, I'm so amazed with the amount of creativity that our guys in programming is doing. And I'm so glad that we can start 2020 Beerridge with I'll Be There For You. Because in this season of uncertainty, even more we need to be present. Even more we need to be generous, to care, to show compassion to people around us, especially those who are in need. Hi, my name is Michael Romende, and I'm one of the leaders here at The Rocks Church. And today I have the privilege of sharing to you about Beerridge. And before that, I would like to extend my warm welcome to all of you here in this building, and also all of you who are watching us from YouTube and also Facebook Live. We're so glad that you're here. And over the next 3 weeks, we are going to unleash our generosity. We are going to unleash our extravagant compassion and love to people around us, especially in our community in Cannington, in Perth. Also, our team in Baldivis is joining Beerridge for the very first time as well. So we're excited to welcome them to Beerridge as well. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to do that not only as the Rocks Church, but also with our churches, partner churches in throughout the world. We are joining a movement of Beerridge with 85 churches, and also supporting over 300 nonprofit organizations, and 115,000 people, including you, are going to be involved in Beerridge in America, United States, in Mexico, in South Africa, and in Australia. And we're one of the first churches in Australia who's doing this. And our hope is more and more churches in WA will join so that we can make more impact in our city. So maybe you're asking, why do we call it Beerridge? Beerridge is inspired by a letter that this Apostle Paul, who sent letters to his protege, Timothy. Timothy, he was teaching Timothy how to preach, how to be a good pastor. And Timothy was only 18 or 19 years old when he sent these letters. And then he sent a letter to Timothy one day, and he said this. He made this interesting statement, and this is where we got the idea of be rich. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good to, everybody say it together, be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. When you read this verse, and maybe you said, good on you, Paul. Yes, command those churches in Ephesus where Tim is pastoring to be rich. But for me, when you read that, actually, that doesn't apply to me because I don't think I'm rich. You may be thinking to the world, you're talking to the rich people in this present world, but that's not me because I don't think I'm rich. And most of us think that way, but let me tell you the truth, that most of us are actually richer than we think. Most of us are actually richer than we think. If you don't feel rich, it is true, you don't feel rich most of the time. And maybe feeling rich is our goal. I want to feel rich. And I know it's not really an Australian thing to admit that we are rich as well. But there's something that may cause you to rethink your financial status. If you make $48,000 a year, you're actually included in 1% of richest people in the world, salary earners in the world, the entire world. Now, that is worth repeating. An income of $48,000 will put you in the top 1% richest people in the world. That's a bit disconcerting, isn't it? What? So I'm one of the most richest people in the world? If you compare it with people in Asia, in Africa, in South America, all different places in the world, and especially living in Australia, having so much support from the government systems. And we are so blessed to live in this country. And we are one of the most benefited people in the world. And don't feel bad if you feel like, I don't feel rich and I don't feel like I am rich. Don't feel bad, because the whole feeling of Australians is the same with you. We feel the financial pressure. We feel like we have no margin. And this is the reason why we feel financial pressure, because we are not so good in being rich. We're not so good in being rich. We spend right up to our income, and then we pull our credit cards and spend even more. Most of us live close to 100% of our income expended. And if not, most people also spend more than 100% of their income. No wonder we have this financial pressure. No wonder we have this no margin. Every single month, every time we receive something from our salary, it's always spent somewhere else. So, as an average Australian who feel financial pressure, no wonder we feel that we're not rich. And this is another consequence of not being good in being rich, is the more money people make, the less we give. The more Australian make, the less they give. Do you know 2017, Australia was the second most generous country in the world after United States? But over the past two years, it's been taken by another two countries, which is Myanmar and New Zealand, our neighbor. So now we're in the number four, the most generous country in the world. And as the average Australian income increases, the percentage they give decreases. Again, we just aren't being good at being rich. So every year, we want to remind ourselves in this church that we are called to be the light of the world, that we are called to be generous. That's why we have this annual Be Rich campaign. So today, I want to ask us, why be generous? Why be generous? We all have our own needs. We have our own problems. We have our own world that we need to take care of, our own kingdom, little kingdom that we need to take care of. Why be generous? Why do we need to be compassionate? Why do we need to care for other people? Why do we need to show love to other people? Your answer may be, well, it's just a good humanitarian thing to do. And it makes me feel good inside when we are generous. Oh, it's the right thing to do. And maybe we all think, oh, we all know that we are supposed to share. But we often don't realize that being generous, being compassionate, being loving and kind is not natural. It's not natural. When you respond to a fundraiser, you know, when you respond to an appeal, Beirut appeal, Queensland earthquake or bushfire, and we were like respond to that. When you do that, let me tell you, it's not natural for us to give straight away. The reason why you give is because we have been taught by our culture, by our parents, who were taught by their parents, their grandparents, to be generous and sharing is caring, right? So, but our natural response is not that. If you want to see what's natural, see your kid. See your four-year-old. See your two-year-old. Some of you here has kids in Womberland. That means they're still less than 4 years old. One of the first words they learned was, no, mommy, daddy, and mine. So like, mine. It's mine. mine. That's right. That's what natural. We don't have to tell them, please stop sharing. Please, only, why don't you just share the worn out stuff? Don't give your best stuff. You don't have to tell them. You don't have to teach them that, because naturally, they won't do that. Naturally, we are selfish. And so are you and so am I. But throughout generations, we have been taught to give to be generous. But maybe you thought, where is that coming from? It hasn't been always like that in our generation, in our Western culture. In our Australian culture, it was impacted by this one person who made this radical vision, who gave and cast this radical vision 2,000 years ago, and his name is Jesus. He cast this mindset of extravagant giving, extravagant generosity, extravagant compassion, extravagant love. That was really weird, that was really surprising, that was a head turner for everyone who was listening to Jesus and his disciples, who later on taught the whole churches, the whole Christians, to be generous the way they were. And because of that, the Western culture has been impacted so much. Australian culture, in America, all over the world, what Jesus has taught has impacted all of us without we realize it. And if we leave this principle, at the end of the day, the world will just rely on majority morality, and that's dangerous. That's why it's good for us to be reminded again. The reason why we're generous, because there's one person who started that 2,000 years ago. The heartbeat of the New Testament is simply this: God's extravagant generosity toward us compels us to be extravagantly generous toward others. It's God's extravagant, everybody say extravagant. Yeah, extravagant generosity towards us compels us. It should compel us to be extravagantly generous toward others. It's because of what God has done toward us. In fact, I'll move in this driving force that Apostle Paul wrote the same letter, but not to Timothy, but now to the church in Philippi. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says this: Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above ourselves, above yourselves. When you read that once again, that's not me. You mentioned before, command those who are rich in this present world. That wasn't me. And now, like, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Who can do that? You know, we all have this selfish ambition. We sang this song today. Lord, give me with my selfish motive. Remove my selfish motive today. Have my heart. That is right. Because we need help every single day to kill this selfish ambition. And maybe you might say, pass. Next verse, please. And it says, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. In fact, value others above yourself. That doesn't make any sense. Are you saying that other people are more valuable than me? Is that what you're saying, Apostle Paul? Are you saying that I have to see and really believe that other people is more valuable than me? You know, I've been struggling with my low self-esteem, and I've been going to different doctors, to different counselors, and now I have my self-esteem, and you want me now to think that other people is more important than myself? That's not what Paul says. He says, in humility, value others above yourself. Who would do that? Actually, you've experienced this. You've experienced this. Have you ever been to a 4-star hotel or 5-star hotel? You have experienced this when you come into the building and say, good morning, Mr. Remende. Good to see you. Welcome to our hotel. And we're so glad to have you. And then whenever you say something, they're going to say, oh, it's my pleasure, sir. Oh, can I do anything for you, Your Highness? And you feel like, oh, yeah. Wow, that feels good. It feels good to feel important. Everybody wants to be treated like royalty, right? But whenever someone treated me like that in a nice hotel, I didn't automatically think that I'm more important than you. And when they do that, they didn't think that I'm more important than them, but they did that as if I am more important than them. And that's exactly what Apostle Paul wants us to do. Treat other people. And that's what Jesus told his disciples, that you need to treat others as if they are more important than you. In fact, everybody in the customer service industry know that if you treat people as if they're more valuable than you, people will return. It works. Have you been to a shop where the shopkeeper's like, yeah, what? Okay, it's over there, mate. You won't come back. But if someone serves you really well and treat you like royalty, they was like, yeah. And that is what we want to create an environment in this church, to treat people as if they're more important than us. So I want you to recognize the guest service volunteers and give them an applause today, as they are the one who make sure that everybody feel like royalty. You treat people as if they're more valuable than you, and you put them ahead of yourself. And maybe you say and push back, okay, well, I can do that for some people who deserve it. Yes, I can do that. But maybe I can do sometimes, I can do every once in a while for people who don't deserve it. But to make that as a lifestyle, to make that as a habit, I don't think I can. Paul continued, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. If you're married, whether you're Christians or not yet, whether you're theists or not yet, let me tell you, if you apply verse 4, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others, your marriage will flourish. Every time there's a dishes and your wife's about to wash the dishes, oh, let me do that, let me do that. Your wife will be happy and say, I love you. You're so kind, hubby. If only we're all not looking to our own interests, but each of us for the interest of others, our marriage will be better. Our relationship at work will be better. Boss, if you do it this way, your employees will love you and love working for you. Verse 5, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What I want you to do is, Apostle Paul said, you follow what Jesus says. You simply treat people the way Jesus does. The Apostle Paul catapults us suddenly from what common world always say, do to others the way you want to be treated. I always mention to my boys, say this every morning, treat others the way I want to be treated. I will treat others the way I want to be treated. But Jesus, through Paul, he escalates that into a different rule. That's what I call the platinum rule. Do unto others as Christ has done to you. Do unto others as Christ has done to you. And suddenly the bar gets raised higher. It's not the way people treated us, that's how we treat them, but it's the way how God has treated me. Even though I disappointed him many times, but he still gave his only son for me. So that's how I need to treat others. I want you to do unto others as your Savior has done it to you. That's what Apostle Paul said to the Philippians and also for us at the Rocks. I'm gonna do for you as you've done for me. Whenever someone at work really annoys you, remind yourself of this platinum rules. I need to do unto this person as Christ has done to me. Christians, it's the whole new world, a whole new world, not the Aladdin world, but it's Jesus kind of world where you treat others the way your heavenly Father has responded to you. When we were still his enemies, he sent his one and only son. You know, back then, when Apostle Paul teaches this, people think that religion operated in a way that is, I need to please God so that he will bless me. I need to please God so that he will accept my offering. He will like my sacrifice. And God will do this and that's it. I'll be right before him. But Jesus, through Paul, also said that the way you honor God is the way you treated other people. The way you love other people is how you honor God. In verse 6, who in being the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. The reason why we can do number 5, verse 5, is because Jesus has given us the model, the example, that being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. He never considered equality with God as something that is precious. In other words, he doesn't go to a restaurant and say, hey, my name is Jesus, give me the best seat with the best view of the house, please. He doesn't, maybe when he come with his disciples, he doesn't sit out in his Lamborghini and send out his disciples and say, okay, get me a table. And the disciples won't come and say, hello, we're from the party of Jesus. We want the best table, please. No, Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus came to serve. Even though he is God with his majestic power, he came to serve and to die for all of us. Jesus, who was actually greater value than anyone who has walked on this earth, never played the Jesus card. He always played, he also didn't ask for discount just because he's Jesus. You know, like, oh, I'm a pastor. Can I get a discount, please? No, no, you don't do that. He always played a card of a servant who served others. Verse 12. Therefore, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't mean that you need to be afraid that God will punish you if you don't do this, but you need to work out your salvation out of awe of what God has done through Jesus Christ. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And this is the result. Verse 15. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. You will be different from your society. You will be different in a good way. Not because you're weird, not because you think that you're better than other people. You will shine like stars among them because you show extravagant love the way God showed extravagant love to you. Back in that day, you would find easily babies on the sewer because they were unwanted. But back then, because of this teaching, Christians were the only one who pulled that baby and cared for that baby. During plague, a lot of people left the town and let the people die over there. But the Christians who stayed and cared for them, they wasn't afraid of dying because they know if they die, they will meet their Creator, guaranteed. That's why they cared for them. And that's why people recognized the followers of Jesus Christ, not because of their belief or their theology. They recognized Jesus' followers. They recognized the love of Jesus because they showed their love, their generosity, their compassion towards others. That is why today we're starting Be Rich through our financial giving. I want to challenge you today to start considering your giving today is not like, you know, like a something, you're tipping God. I want you to represent this giving to represent God. I want to shine like stars the way the first Christians in the first century shines like stars in their society. And we want to do that as a church together. I want to encourage every single person, husband, wife, single person, grandma, grandpa. I even encourage my boys to do the same. And it's not because we want the next generation to also know the joy, the feeling of the joy of giving, the joy of being generous. So I want to show you a video today, a video of Be Rich impact that you have made for the past 2 years, 2018 and 2019. And today we're going to exceed that. We're going to top it off. We're going to make sure that we're even more generous this year. So let us watch this video together.
Hi, my name is John Atkinson from The Rocks, and I'm standing here in front of Mena.
And I'm here standing in front of Fusion Australia.
I'm standing here in front of Pindari Restoration House.
I'm standing here in front of Fusion Australia, and I'm about to give them an amazing gift thanks to your generosity during Be Rich.
Whoopee! Well, I think to have financial support is incredibly important, but also the fact that Be Rich are going to volunteer on the ground, we'll send a very strong message that the community is a united one.
Do I need a chair? Do I need to be sitting
you
here?
You might need a chair.
Wow.
I think I'm going to give you a hug. You've made a difference. You are making a difference. we could just say thank you, but it's not big enough. And I think you saw Neil's response for us. We've journeyed with our young people. We love them, but it just helps us know that others, we just want them to know how loved they are. And this is a way of doing that.
That's awesome. Check that out. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. One of the important things that we do with the guys here is actually get them involved, you know, get them back into the workforce. The money for that's been contributed will be used to purchase a trailer that we can actually use for, you know, purposes off-site where we can work with the guys. So this will help us achieve that. So yeah, absolutely fantastic.
Wow. You guys.
We said earlier, it's so encouraging for us. We do this work sort of every day, but to find partners like yourselves that honour God in your lives through loving the people around you, through praising Him, through your works, and through the resources that He's blessed you with, it's just so encouraging for us, the staff, and it's so important for the young people that we work with, because they see that there are all these people in the community around them that care about them, that don't just talk about caring about them, but care about them so much that they volunteer their time, their resources, their energy, and they give.
Thank you, be rich.
That's the kind of generosity that we can see making an impact in people's life. And that is exactly what we're going to do today throughout 4 gatherings that we have in Cannington and Baldivis today. And also you online people, online viewers who are watching us today right now. I want to challenge you to take the next step today and start giving. This is how we can do it today. Our aim is 150 and 100. It means that we want 100% participation for everyone here in this building today. And we want you to give $50 per person. And if you can't give $50, it's okay. It's totally okay. Give whatever you can. But if you can give $50, let's do that today. And if you can give more, please do that too. Because people has different experience and different background and different capacity that as we give today. So if you want to add extra zero behind that or extra 2 zeros, you're more than welcome to do that, because 100% that we will receive today will be given away to these amazing nonprofit organizations. And COVID-19 has been a difficult season for them, not getting a lot of income and grants. So we want to help them today and with our generosity. So what you can do is, on your seat you have an envelope, Be Rich. You can put cash in there, and then there's a giving drop box behind you where you can see it on the yellow wall. You can drop it there and we can collect it safely. Or you can also go to the rocks .info on your mobile phone, which I'm going to give you a time to do that right now. So right now, if you want to give using the rocks.info, go to Be Rich, which is the first menu on top, and then you can give using your credit card through your mobile phone. Or when you go out to the foyer, you will see these beautiful people wearing Be Rich t-shirt with some balloons with them to make you easy to identify them. I want you to go there and you can give using FPOS facility that we have. There are 3 FPOS facility that we can use today. So you can do that right now. As we are going to give to Fusion, they will use this to help with their wages because of COVID. They will also contribute towards their annual trip for the teens to the Central Australia. And Pregnancy Problem House, this year the money raised will go towards upgrading their systems, their computers, software, and a smart TV to run a parenting course. The crew
this amazing organization. Your giving today will give towards fitting their new premises for the to care for their clients, for their homeless whom they are serving, items for kitchen, refrigerated small truck for their food pickups. These are their needs, and we want to fulfill that today. We want to be extravagant, and we want to shine like stars today. Can we do that? Can we do that, The Rocks? Yes, we can do this. Why don't we just take our time together today just to give thanks to God for He has done what He has done to us, His forgiveness, His loving kindness for us that He has shown through Jesus Christ today.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.